I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
It's a drunken soiree in the within.
Chris and Stu present Hardcore Listing, the podcast.
Hello and welcome to Hardcore Listing Podcast. I'm Stu Whiffin, joining me always, Christopher Glasson. Hello.
All right, mate.
Yeah, not bad, not bad.
It's a bit warm in here now, isn't it? We've gone overboard on the studio heating now. Yeah, now, like last few weeks, it's been like an ice box in here, and now it's getting a bit...
Pushed the boat out, haven't we?
A bit close.
Spent a few quid.
Yeah, on heating. Check us out.
I mean, today's been a good day. It's been a day of comedy. We've just had a wonderful chat with Esther Manito, who
really
said to say hello to our guest that's sitting opposite us now. So let's bring her straight in. Fiona, hello.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you? Well, actually, compared to you two, bloody freezing, apparently.
Yeah. No. Where are you based, Fiona?
I've just moved to Sevenoaks.
Oh,
in Kent.
Nice.
Oh, that's not far from you.
Not far from me. I'm down in Hipsterville, Margate at the moment.
Oh, right. Yeah.
And,
love Kent. I went to Margate the other week for a hike.
Did you?
Yeah.
Nice.
Can you tell by my tiny voice I don't like hiking?
I live not too far from Sevenoaks, but over the bridge in the shit part.
Oh, right. What bit? Because I might be in that bit. I might have just stopped to Sevenoaks.
Thurrock.
Thurrock. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
A little
not,
bit further away, yeah.
Yeah.
I know, Lakeside.
Yeah. Not very nice. But, you've joined us today, and, I mean, should we find out what... Fiona's top five is before we even shout out sponsors.
Yeah, okay. Fiona, what top five are you running down with us today?
Musicals.
Nice.
Why musicals?
Oh, bloody hell, why musicals? Basically, that was what I wanted to do. I wanted to be in musicals. So I did a dance degree. I did about 15 grand's worth of singing lessons.
Wow.
I did, a musical theatre, like a year's training in that, but I'm tone deaf really, so I could never do it, but it's still the thing that I'm like, oh, if I could do anything, that's what I'd do.
You'd want to do. I mean, did you know at the end of 15 grand, was that when your instructor just went, Fiona, listen, you're fucking tone deaf, mate, it's been 15?
Oh no, they would have kept taking the money.
Like a homeopathic doctor. So, but yeah, Molly keeps going to one in a Margate.
My mum and everyone around me was like, can you stop practicing? And I was like, I think I'm good at this.
Was that something like at school that you thought was legit, that you know, I'm going to do this and this is what my life's sort of ambition and goal is to be in musical theatre?
Oh, yeah. After school every day I'd do dance lessons and acting classes. Obviously, I took drama at school. I think that was the only subject that I got like an A star in. Everything else was a lot lower down. So I was like, well, this is the thing that I'm good at. Yeah. But then when it came to the singing, it was actually like I'd get stage fright. So I'd almost be okay singing without an audience. And then in front of an audience, I just couldn't hear the music. And it was just literal stage fright. Like, I went to hypnotherapy to try and cure it. Like, I really wanted to do it.
I had hypnotherapy to cure stage fright.
Did you? Did it work?
Yeah.
Can you give me the person?
Do you not think that ship sailed now? Is that it? You're going to just bin off this comedy. I'm going back to the...
Literally, because you know, like Jason Manford, he was in The Producers, and I think Lee Evans was as well. Mm. Like a lot of them do cross over. Who else? Phil Jupiter. So I think he was in like Hairspray.
He was, wasn't he? Yeah.
So a lot of them sort of build their career in comedy and then shoot over to the left.
It is weird, isn't it? Because not just musical theatre, but the amount of comedians that are secret singers. Because if you look at Vic Reeves had, well, he had a number one with Dizzy, and he had like another top 10. Steve Coogan has come out as Tony Farino. Was it Tony Farino? And Tony, he had various different artists and sung on it. Peter Kay sings, like, obviously, as well. There's so many comedians. Yeah. And Lee Evans' voice is amazing.
Oh, yeah, he could play the piano and everything. Mm. He was just very musical.
Yeah.
Like, I think I'm not... I don't think I'm necessarily musical.
I mean, that word musical, that does actually feature in your career goal, as musical theatre.
I said it. I was like, you prat.
Shit.
So was you one of them? I mean, we were just talking to Esther on last week's episode, boy, it'll be last week's episode for listeners, about the fact that we would go and watch our kids in musical theatre and dance productions and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Was you one of them people that made your parents endure hour after hour of not just watching you, but watching other random kids sing and dance?
What do you mean, kids? I was doing it till I was about 27. I was making them come to like barges and stuff, and I was like doing cabarets, and that to sit through like 15 people doing musical theatre songs as well. Oh. Musical theatre songs from musicals they'd never heard of. Like, not your mainstream musicals, because we're all so into it, like such niche songs. So like my dad, who's a proper geezer, would come to these cabarets and just have to sit through like 15 strangers singing songs, and then I'd come on.
That is love.
And I'd always do the same song that as is well. Love.
What, you do but the same song as well at every cabaret, so it didn't matter if they'd changed it, you came in and did the same number, so your dad's watching.
Yeah, because you could like take your own songs, and obviously, I did actually audition for like West End shows. So I had like audition songs that I'd have to like practice and stuff, so I'd tend to do those in these cabaret things. But yeah, I think Dirty Dancing, I got through the dancing for that. And then I had to sing, and it was like, you're gone. And I think I auditioned for Oh Mamma Mia.
Oh, amazing.
Well, that was a terrible one. I remember...
She says amazing. Fiona's like, no.
Well, it wasn't. It was like all the panel just looked down. They wouldn't look up. So I think what I thought was, just sing louder. Yeah, just ended up shouting at four like professional judges, basically. So didn't get that one either.
Auditioning must be fucking terrifying.
What's that? Sorry, auditioning is terrible.
Yeah, yeah. No, terrifying, not terrible. I didn't see
any. I actually, because when you do stand up, everyone goes, "Oh God, how can you get up there and do that?" That I find like easy.
No stage fright.
I don't get stage fright with stand up, nothing.
How weird.
It's weird. So the stage fright is literally, I don't get it with dancing, acting, stand up. It's literally just associated with the singing. I think because it's like, it's weird because with stand up, there's loads of variables, but I think the idea of like the piano and all these different things that are out of my control is just too much to think about. And being judged, like with stand up, you know that they're there to laugh, like they want to have a nice time.
Right, gotcha.
With auditioning, I always found that I just thought, or you don't want me to do well. Even though obviously they do.
Yeah.
They want to find the right person.
Right. Well, look, before we get onto your top five, and we'll kick off with number five in a moment, we should quickly shout out the sponsors.
Let me tell
show.
You someone who can sing.
Go on.
He's Big Papa J.
Yeah, he can. He can.
He can sing. I've seen him in many gigs, playing the fool, acting up. Acting the clown. And you can, well, I don't know if he sings a lot. I mean, obviously, his jingles at the start of the podcast, the Say What podcast, which is our sponsor. You can hear Justin re-release and do a different jingle pretty often. He sings in that, but it's normally a bit mental. I don't know what the Notorious FAWT is like as a singer.
I'd say substandard.
I'd say Tony's a shit singer, just looking at his face.
Yeah. Proud sponsors of this podcast.
Yeah, sorry, yeah, I'm slagging Tony off there.
Alongside Southern Martial Arts, if you're interested in learning martial arts or you're interested in teaching martial arts, go give Renshi Sai a follow on the socials. He's tagged on all of the posts, including this one. So go give him a follow. Go drop him a message. And, yeah, get stuck into learning some martial arts. Right.
Let's do it.
Number five.
Let's do it. Number five.
Are they ranked from, like, number one's your favourite?
Number one's my favourite, yeah. It took me a while to write these down because I've seen so many. And I've seen a lot of them several times.
Yeah. Sakisa, we had Sakisa on last week doing top five wrestlers, and it took her a long time to get to it. So there was lots of caveats thrown out there. And if musicals are your if that's your thing, Esther, I'm sure it's pretty difficult to sort of like come up with your top five. And they might change maybe over the years. But
you should also change from not calling Fiona Esther as well.
Oh, sorry. Did I just call you Esther, Fiona? I didn't even notice. Sorry. Yeah, sorry. Sorry, we've just been talking to Esther. Sorry, Fiona. Yeah, so yeah, let's hear it. Let's hear your number five.
Right, number five, the caveat, I'm a bit ashamed of, because it's Cats, the Andrew Lloyd Webber. Do you two even like musicals, by the way?
Fucking hate them. Yeah, absolutely. No, I've been to a few. I actually really enjoyed them. And I'm not going to name names because they might pop out in your top five, and I've ruined people's top fives before.
Okay.
Haven't been to see Cats, but my mum fucking loved Cats. I don't know, it just feels like it's been tarred recently, Cats, tarnished, yeah, because of like the movie.
James Corden.
Yeah, James Corden's fucked it for everyone.
Yeah, whereas my memory of it is it was one of the first ones I went to see, and it was at the New London Theatre, and it was like in the round. So the stage revolved and all the cats sort of came into the audience and danced around you.
Wow.
So it was like quite immersive. And I think because it was like the first West End production I'd sort of seen, I was just like mesmerised. But I think the reason I'm ashamed of it is because since then I've seen the film and I'm like, oh God, this is really bad. But yeah, I did. That's coming in at number five. Do you want me to...
Let's sit with Cats for a bit, because you I've seen clips of the movie and it looked dog shit. It looked just so bad. The special
shit.
Effects and that. It looks like, sorry, cat shit. It looked really terrible. But I have actually always wanted to go to the stage show because my mum was kind of like very keen on it. I mean, I don't know if they can they run in amongst people now, or would you get like...
No, you can go to secret cinema and things like that. It's all immersive,
yeah,
isn't it?
Yeah, yeah, I guess so. I guess right. You can still do that. Yeah.
Well, I mean... They did a revival of it with Nicole Scherzinger.
From Pussycat.
And I went to see that, and that wasn't in the round. That was just them on stage. And even that one, I was like, oh, this isn't what I remembered.
Right.
So it is literally that original production that I'm like, that's the one I like. The others, like you said, are dog shits.
I don't like Cats. Like
that's gonna
is it gonna spoil it for me?
Yeah.
If it was called Dogs, I'd be all over it. But
that's what they need to bring out.
Dogs.
Yeah, Dogs.
Exactly.
Yeah, absolutely.
They're lovely dogs.
Yeah.
But I don't know. And I also get weirded out by like grown-ups in like animal costumes, and not so much lycra. I can work with that. But
I've seen you in it.
Just giant furry people. And we're quite hairy people, but just
not
that,
furry. Yeah. That's almost like that fetish, isn't
I
it?
Can't
if
handle.
If I was going to have a fetish, I mean, I've got hundreds, but yeah, furries isn't one of them.
Is that what they're called?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I can't imagine you with a
loads
butt,
of people
furry butt plug, no, a foxtail
running around looking like Teen Wolf's dad. I can't handle that. It's not for me, mate.
Yeah. Well, it's taking a turn.
How many times have you seen Cats live?
And how many times I've seen it? I think I've only seen it live twice.
Yeah.
So once when I was about 10, and then, about 5-6 years
with
ago, I think it was.
Scherzinger. She's not going to walk between people, is she? She's too good for getting him
in the
rows.
No, she didn't. Although I saw her in something recently, Sunset Boulevard. Do you know about that one?
No.
That nearly made the top five, to be honest.
Wow.
Because another Andrew Lloyd Webber one, but they did this thing where they had like people like holding cameras, and then so the main character at one point goes outside of the theatre, sings the main song, walking along the Strand, and they film it and project it back into the theatre.
Wow!
But I actually considered going up, so I went and saw it, and I was like, it sounds like, but it was really good the way they did it. It was just very different to anything I'd ever seen. But I actually considered going up there on another day and just loitering around the Strand to watch him do the main song, because they just basically play the orchestra into his ears. So all you can see and hear is this bloke just singing the title song from Sunset Boulevard, walking along the Strand. But it did end up attracting like loads of crowds and stuff because it...
That's what I wondered. Like, would you want to be outside and then try and get yourself on the camera, basically, as they're walking along singing?
They had, like, people around him, like bodyguards.
Gotcha.
So that you couldn't sort of get in the frame, but you could sort of hear him sing,
They might have just gone, no, she's all right. She can dance. Don't let her sing.
She's had 15 grand's worth of singing lessons.
I'm just trying to harmonise in the background. And they're like, you're turned down. I'm like, I've been hypnotised. Let me sing.
I mean, also, in regards to this top five, what's the kind of the rules in regards to sort of films that are musicals?
I'm glad you asked that, actually.
Okay.
Because at number three, I've got an either or.
Ooh. Oh, okay.
Ooh, okay.
So I've got a film, or because I think the way I've done it, I think it probably should be ones that I've seen live.
Okay.
But I wrote down instinctively one that I've only seen, like, the film of.
Yeah.
So I'll tell, when it gets to number three, I'll tell you in both. But, like, there are some film versions that I've seen the film, loved it, and seen the musical, and, like, this is terrible. Like, Grease. Grease.
That was kind of what was going through my head when I asked that question.
It's your favourite.
Because
it's
one of the greatest films ever made.
Yeah.
But do I want to watch Shane Ritchie in Cliff's Pavilion in Southend doing Danny Zuko? No, I don't.
I went and saw it last year in the Dominion. And, you know, like the T-Birds?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're not the T-Birds, they're the Burger Boys.
Oh,
and, like,
really?
It's just nothing like the film at all. Like, Danny and Sandy are on stage together for about 30 seconds and the rest of the time they keep going off and sleeping with other people.
What an anticlimax!
But apparently that's the original, and then it turned into Grease, the film. So, yeah, apparently that's where it came from. The stage version was there first, but, oh, it was so bad. It was really bad.
Who was Danny Zuko when you see it?
I can't remember who Danny Zuko was, but, you know, like the Teen Angel.
Yeah.
That was Peter Andre.
I don't know. This is starting to sound quite good now.
From Frankie Avalon. Fucking Peter Andre. No. No, 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 no. Oh, my God.
I think it was meant to be Jason Donovan, but I think he bowed out because it was so bad.
I'm just going to take my dignity and leave.
Yeah, he's like, they want me back for Technicolor Dreamcoat again. Can't turn it down.
Number four then, Fiona, what you got?
Number four, Miss Saigon.
Oh, yeah.
So it's by the same writers as Les Mis. I think I should prefer Miss Saigon, but again, it was one that I got taken to, like, by my mum and that. I think I was like 10, 11, but quite young. It's quite full on for like a 10, 11-year-old to go and see a musical about the Vietnam War. And there's a load of strippers in it and they're all dressed half naked. But I really like that one. I don't know why that isn't as successful as Les Mis.
Is it still running, Miss Saigon?
No, I think there might be a UK tour. But, like, again, in the... I was about to say something really stupid. In the West End version, I was going to say they fly in a helicopter.
Right.
They don't, but...
That's what I was going to ask. Because that's what my mum used to say to me. They like something about a helicopter, and I was like,
"Yeah, there's like a massive helicopter on stage."
Is it so right? But the helicopter doesn't come in and land.
No,
because in my little brain, when mum used to tell me about it, I was like, "They landed a helicopter," and she never corrected me. So I've always had this thing of, "Oh wow, fucking, I'd never been to a musical at that point." I was like, "I didn't realise that theatres were that big."
Well, you say that. I went to. Are any of your other three from a really iconic 80s film?
No.
Because I went and watched the Back to the Future musical.
Oh, right, yeah.
Like about, I don't know, 4 or 5 months ago. And at the end, the DeLorean takes off and comes over the audience turns round and then goes. It's fucking surreal. And incredible.
They've invented hovercrafts just for a musical.
It was a game changer, mate.
Jesus.
But
did you enjoy that one? Like, the whole thing? Or?
Yeah, do you know what? I think because, like Greece, the stories are so ingrained in you, aren't they? And like, and you want it to be like for like, and you want the characters to be exactly how you know them. You don't want Burger Boys, you want T-Birds, don't you?
Yeah.
And like, and I think it was a little bit of adjustment, but essentially it was all the same characters, and the premise of the story was exactly the same. But yeah, I think after about 20 minutes, I was involved. The songs just didn't do it for me. It was like, look, there's no songs that, in yeah. Back to the Future apart from The Power of Love, which they do at the end, which was great. Mm. But yeah, it was just, I don't need songs, but I guess if it's a musical, they have to do
got
that.
Crowbar them in. Yeah.
Have you seen it?
That's one that I haven't seen actually, but then I've never actually seen, I only recently saw Back to the Future.
Well, you're probably a good person to go and watch it then.
Exactly, yeah. You haven't had 20, 30 years of it being conditioned into your brain.
Absolutely.
So yeah, you might enjoy it. Do you go, like, is it like, how often are you at the theatres? Is it like a monthly thing for you?
Well, at the moment, because everything's really expensive, what I'm doing is like for Christmas and stuff, I'll just ask for like these vouchers and then I can go. So in January, I think I saw that Sunset Boulevard and I saw Moulin Rouge. So yeah, I'd probably try and go like 5-6 times a year. But when I was actually like studying musical theatre, I was going all the time and I'd go on my own. Like one New Year's Eve, I went and watched Frozen on my own.
I go to Nando's on my own, Fiona. If you love it, do it. That's what I say. Don't feel shame about it. Although if I went to more, like, I'd feel like if I went to a musical like Frozen on my own, I'd get funny looks. I think maybe it'd be more.
I got funny looks, and there's a difference.
Again, showing up with a beard. We were just discussing this with Esther, weren't we? Like, I can't, there's certain places I just can't go on my own now.
Yeah, it's frowned upon.
I'm at that age and wearing a beard or like a checked shirt. I just look creepy as.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
Sinister, yeah.
But Nando's is not one of them.
Nando's is fine. The problem is, my desire for Nando's is so high that I don't care about the shame of it. Whereas, thankfully, the desire to be a Frozen musical surrounded by children, I don't have it. So, Your Honour.
So your Nando's is my Frozen.
Absolutely, yeah. How was it? Yeah. What was it like?
It was good, but the kids were really annoying because they didn't have the attention span.
Shut up!
So I was like, can we all keep it down, please? I'm trying to watch it. But it was a lot cheaper because I was on my own and it was just like this one random seat. I do this pathetic thing where I'll buy the ticket. So like if it's on its own, it's a bit cheaper because no one's really going on their own. And then I'll go to another day and I'll go, well, how much would that have been though? And it would have been about 150 quid and I paid £25. So well, chuffed.
You saved 125 quid.
Exactly.
Yeah. That's
So we're going to get on to the number three. And this is the one that's got the caveat.
Oh, yes.
Of
Is it a film? Or is
so
it
number three, if we were including films, I've got Little Shop of Horrors.
Oh, great shout.
I only watched it last year. I only watched it for the first... I've heard so many good things about it, and I only watched it. We watched it for Halloween last year, or the year before that. So, yeah, not long ago. It's so good. It's such a great film, isn't it?
Yeah, it's got, like, Steve Martin in it as the dentist.
Kills it, yeah.
Who's, like, brilliant. I can't think of the lead actor's name.
Rick Moranis.
Rick Moranis.
Yeah. But, oh, yeah, Honey, I Shrunk the Kids and stuff, yeah. But, yeah, so that was one. I think I think I have seen it live because basically theatre runs in our blood. My uncle used to do amateur dramatics, and he put on one actually in Dartford at the Orchard. They put on Little Shop of Horrors there, and I remember he took us, me and my sister. We got to go and like get inside the plant and stuff.
Wow. How cool was that?
Yeah, it was really good actually because when he puts on product, like he's got a theatre now, like Walksmith. When he puts on productions, he does go full out. So it was like this massive plant thing, and we was in it, and we was only little.
That's incredible.
Yeah, so I think that's one that I've always just really, really liked. But again, those songs I could never sing. Those the ones
they're
that all
so
sings.
High, aren't they?
Oh, and the way she belts them out, like Suddenly Seymour. I think that's one that I was always practicing. My mum was like, banging like a broom on the ceiling, like, will you shut up?
Have you been to a secret cinema yet?
What, secret? No, I haven't.
Because
have you done that?
Yeah, so I've done stacks of them, but I love it. It's like, if you like musical theatre and the kind of interactive thing, Moulin Rouge, Dirty Dancing, incredible. Like, absolutely incredible. And, like, and you can get stuck in as well. Like, you haven't even got an audition. You can just get right involved.
It's so good. we did the Stranger Things one, and, like, it was crazy. And because some of my friends were a bit more introverted, and some of us, we're quite happy to get stuck into things. And within about...
Show-offs.
Show-offs. Yeah. Attention-seeking. And within about 10 minutes, I was climbing through an air vent, like, and then getting chased by a monster. And like, it was so insane. Like, you queue up, and then we went in, and then there was a few people doing some odd things in this, like, luggage store. It was, like, it was in, like, the, I don't know, have you seen Stranger Things? I mean, it's a bit of a...
Yeah.
So, like, it was all set in the big, like, shopping centre, and one of the stores there was this luxury handbag store. I'm sure it was that. And we asked a few questions, and a person was being a bit suspicious, and then we fished around for a password, got this password, gave it to him, and then before you know it, we were crawling around this air duct, and it was insane. And like, there's all these other things that you can do throughout it, so you actually get to be part of the story, don't you? It's amazing. It really is. So you can just if you want to be passive and just watch things happen, that's fine. If you don't have the confidence, and not everyone has the confidence to just go and randomly start talking to someone who's acting, because I can see how that would be intimidating, right? So if you don't have that, you can sit back and just watch the things kicking off around you.
Right,
but if you actually think, like, fuck it, I'm going to get stuck in. I mean, because we went to watch, we did the Romeo and Juliet one, and I also ended up having this dance off on stage. It was just crazy. It was mad. It was like 400 people watching me dance badly. See, that's where you're going to shine. Because they didn't ask me to sing. They were like, just dance. And it was great.
Yeah.
So you got these secret cinemas, like this interactive experiences, Fiona, you got to try it. It's dope.
That Stranger Things one you said just reminds me of like another audition I did. For Madame Tussauds. So do you remember, I don't know if you went to Fort Park where they got the saw ride and they had like the interactive queue and people jump out and sort of scare the shit out of you.
Yeah.
I did audition, they were doing that sort of thing at Madame Tussauds and you had to do a 2-day workshop, scare school.
Right, all right, hang on a little bit. Break that down.
Scare school.
Right, so it's basically 2 days worth of people going in, and like they cut you at different rounds so people get sent home, of like going in and like making like they get you to be like and make like just weird noises and like crawl across the floor in weird ways and like jump out and create tension, and it lasted 2 days, and I actually got through and got the job. And I was just like, I think it was at the time, I think it was about 16 quid an hour or something, but you'd have to go into London every day. And I ended up working at CGI Fridays instead because it was basically going to be the job that I did.
Raked it in.
It's going to be the job alongside the auditioning for the actual shows that I wanted to be in. But the things that God knows what the audition's like for that secret cinema, because that's obviously that sort of thing combined with the musical theatre element.
Yeah,
it must be about a week long.
There's so
audition.
Many different roles though within that. So like, you know, obviously some of the main characters within the Stranger Things, that obviously their roles are going to be more demanding. But like, there's a lot of people there who are like, there's much smaller parts as part of that interactive thing. So yeah, it's really cool. You can just go and like, they're probably, if you're really keen and you've got some degree of acting chops, they will say, look, we think this sort of role is suitable for you. Or, you know, if I was there, I'd probably just been stacking shelves in the background. But yeah.
What makes someone qualified to teach at a scare school? What's the qualification? Done a 10 stretch for like stalking and murdering or something? How do you become
When you're in it, you don't question that, do you? You just assume that these people know what they're doing and what they're looking for. But they probably didn't. They're probably looking at like,
there's no degree.
30, 40 people going, madness, absolute madness.
There's no degree. Crawl or wriggle around on the floor scarily. They're like, this isn't even part of scare school. Yeah. It's just like, I've just got this feeling I could get Fiona to do it.
Yeah,
we're just mugging her off now. Yeah.
Come in, everybody, sit down. Most of you probably recognise me from the Ghost Train circa 1988 to 1992. Fucking hell.
Right, scare school. Just want you to act like there's ghosts in your clothes. Just take all your clothes off as quickly as you can.
I'm going to make you a star.
Oh, that reminds me of another... No, not really.
I'd love to do scare school. You did freak me out because the first thing you said is in scare school. As you go through the rounds, you know they cut you. I was thinking, what the fuck? And I was like, oh no, not that kind of cut. And that would be scare school.
I forgot you're not. You don't have the terminology of the audition process. People from the audition process. They're not. It's not that scary.
That would build tension,
wouldn't it? Very authentic. Before we get on to number two, what ones didn't quite make the cut?
Oh, right. So with number three, it was Little Shop of Horrors, if we were including films.
Gotcha.
If not, I had Rock of Ages.
Rock
you seen
of
that
ages?
One?
I have, yeah.
So, have you seen the film, though?
Yeah. Tom Cruise, isn't it?
The film... Pardon?
Is it Tom Cruise?
Yeah, Tom Cruise, Russell Brand.
Yeah.
The
is that how we
quite...
have to say Russell Brand
now?
Yeah,
you've
got to say Russell Brand. Unfortunately, you can't see my facial expression on a podcast, but I did the facial expression to go with Russell Brand. So the film is actually, I don't like the film, but the stage version of that was really good. Again, it's like all sort of like classic rock songs. They called it like a jukebox musical where you're taking like already existing songs and then putting them on stage, which a lot of people don't like. So you've got like Jersey Boys, all that sort of stuff.
See, that's one of my favourites.
Is it Jersey Boys?
And the Tina Turner musicals. Fucking amazing.
Yeah, I've seen that three times.
Yeah, it's incredible.
I do like that one. And I didn't even know that I liked their music before I went to it. But Rock of Ages has got like, at the time, another one of my hobbies was I was doing pole dancing. Not for money. If I was, it don't matter. Yeah. But just to clarify.
Just for the lols. Yeah.
Just because I had nothing to do on a Monday night. And they had like pole dancing in that. And I think, again, it's one of those things of it depends what's going on in your life and if it all matches in at the time. Mm. You're sort of drawn into it more.
Yeah, for sure.
So that's by a number three if we're just doing stage ones. Ones that didn't make it. I don't think there's those like Wicked. Wicked should probably be in there. It's not in there.
I struggled with Wicked.
Did you?
Yeah.
In what way, mate?
Well, the everyone I went with, the family loved it. And I don't know. Again,
just couldn't get into it.
I couldn't, and I really wanted to. Like it looked sensational.
Yeah.
But yeah, I did struggle with it.
Yeah. Oh.
Yeah, it's not like I haven't got like a standout moment of it in my mind.
Mm.
But that is one that like everyone's always like, oh, have you seen Wicked, Wicked's.
Mm.
Then it's always up there for people. But yeah, that's not made the top five. Les Mis, I guess.
Yeah.
I saw that when I was very young, and I saw it again last year. And it is very good, but there's like literally not a single line of dialogue.
Mm.
It's a musical that is sung the whole way through.
Yeah.
Because my boyfriend keeps saying, oh, should we go and see it? But he hates musicals, but he loves history. But I'm like, you won't like it. Yeah. Every time I mention a musical, he just cuts me off by going, musical, musical.
It's really...
He won't let me speak about it. And he met my uncle at Christmas. And he said that my boyfriend, I think, was like asking for potatoes or something. And my uncle went, you want more? and my boyfriend, Matt, just went, oh, fucking hell, he's half man, half musical. I can't handle this family.
I get what your boyfriend would experience if he went to Les Mis. So I've never seen the show, but I went with the family to the cinema to watch the film.
Yeah.
And after about 10 minutes, I was like, oh, for fuck's sake, is there no talking? But by the end of it, I was loving it. I thought it was fantastic. But that initial thing of, oh, for God's sake, this is just songs like that I don't know as well.
Yeah, because normally as well, like a musical does have a bit of let up, doesn't it? Like there is a bit of chat in it, but Les Mis is just from beginning to end. So yeah, I might take him, but I don't expect him to.
Can you not ease him in with like Greatest Showman or something like that?
Yeah.
Well, he won't watch The Greatest Showman. He took me to Hamilton for my birthday. And, you know, have you ever gone to watch something and you just, without even looking, you can feel that the person next to you is not having a nice time?
100%.
Had it last night. Valentine's really? Night. Valentine's Day. but we put on Dazed and Confused, which I love that movie so much. And I've been saving it. It's been on our to watch list for ages. So I was like, come on, let's, it's about time. And I'd accidentally bigged it up too much and we put it on and I could just instantly feel within 10 minutes, Molly was fucking bored out of her mind and it broke me. I was just like, I think we might have to break up.
it's such a horrible feeling, isn't it? Because you're like, you can't enjoy it because you can like their energy coming into you. And you're like, oh, you hate it. Like, I could feel my shoulders going up, like he's not enjoying it. And I'd look at him a second half, his eyes were shut.
Yeah.
Oh no.
And the thing is, that is like he's saying about Les Mis, because it's like a history one. Hamilton, again, it's like American history, isn't it? It's like if you couldn't handle that, I don't know if you would be able to handle Les Mis.
But if he winds you up sufficiently, or if he drags you to something you don't want to go to, then maybe just
all the time.
Yeah, well then drag him to Les Mis and you enjoy it. But yeah, I can't quite dial into it. Like when someone I'm with is not enjoying what I'm watching. It's like comedy shows, you know, when you big someone up and you're like, oh no, you've got to watch, come and watch this with me, and then you're sat there and you're like, you're laughing and there's not a peep coming out of them and you're like, it just ruins it. You're just like,
I always wonder why people do. Sometimes you get at comedy night, it's like when I host them and you chat to people, they're on a first date and I just think, oh, that's so tough. Cringe, because you can't laugh what you want to laugh at because you're too busy sort of thinking about will they find that funny. And do you ever have that when you go and see somebody and you can just feel the person that you're just turning to see what your opinion on every moment is?
I find that with music. It's like, I remember when Johnny Cash, the video for Hurt come out, which is this whole kind of anthology of his career, and like, and his wife just been, and you knew that once that video was made, she passed away. And it was like, I remember saying to my missus, like, this is the most powerful thing I've ever seen.
Yep.
And I went, just watch this. And like, and I think within about a minute, Like, you could tell that she just dialed out. I'm crying. And I'm just thinking, how are you not, just absolutely blown away by this? And then you just think, oh. And it's like, you feel a bit dejected, don't you, when someone doesn't get something as much as if you feel really passionate about it. Yeah. And they're just like, that's all right.
Yeah.
Just like, what?
I got the same look from Molly last night, like, that I get after making love. And it's just abject disappointment. And she was like, 10 minutes in, I was like, you're not enjoying this, are you? And she was like, because she did it to me to Die Hard at Christmas. Because I was like, we've got to watch Die Hard. That was ruined. And she was just like, the dialogue's just really clunky, isn't it? And I think it's like the most incredible dialogue. And I was like, let's go do the washing up.
I think that's even worse, they can give you a specific about why they don't like it.
And the worst thing is, there was notes of truth in what she was saying at the start. Like, I can understand why she's saying what she's saying as well. So the truth hurts. But yeah, it's still a great film.
I had it when the kids were getting to like 13, 14, I was like, right, sit down. This is called The Breakfast Club. It's going to change your life.
Molly said that to me last night.
And they literally were just 10 minutes in, just looking at their phone, just going, well, why are you making me watch this old thing?
Yeah, Molly said that to me last night. She says, I just don't get it. I don't like Breakfast Club. Don't make me watch that either. I was just like, fucking hell. Wrong with
planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
I don't know, too far in now in a relationship just to cancel it. I was just blind, Fiona. I was blind.
Oh, I didn't realise this top five was going to make you unravel.
Oh, yeah, it really has. It's a disgusting musical. It's because she was talking about Les Mis, like depressing shit. I don't know if I've watched it. And I often get that confused. I mean,
it's quite a statement to call it boring shit.
No, I said depression.
Depression shit if you've not watched it.
No, that's proper guesswork, that. I mean, the depressing title.
Depressing shit with a melody.
Yeah. What is Les Mis about? What is it about?
The French Revolution.
Oh, fuck that. No. I'm going to put Gremlins on.
All right. What you got at number two, mate?
Number two. You might not even know what this one is. It's called Newsies.
No. Yes.
No. So it's about the newspaper strike.
Right.
Sounds really dull. It's done by Disney though. And I think anything done by Disney normally, apart from Aladdin, because Aladdin on the West End was terrible.
Right.
But anything done by Disney normally works out well, like Beauty and the Beast, Lion King, all that they've done in the West End. So Newsies is about all these young boys that are being used to deliver the papers, but they won't pay them properly, so they will strike.
What's the whopping thing?
What's that?
The whopping strikes, like in the 80s.
Oh, don't ask me proper questions about history.
Come on, Fiona.
I only know.
You've seen the musical, mate.
If they mention the day in the songs, I won't know. Unless as they pirouette, there's a number that comes out of their foot, I won't know the answer.
Sorry.
The American newspaper strike.
Oh, it was in America. Right, okay.
Your ears picked up there. I thought it was in Whopping. You got all interested all of a sudden. And I thought, all Fiona said is young boys being used. And you was like, oh, right. Yeah, I know that.
I said it.
You were like, oh, the ones in Whopping. I was like, shoot, why do you know about this?
That's the clip for the video to sell this episode.
Sure, this is going into a different top five. This is the Newsies one, I saw it on Broadway actually. I first saw it there and I was like, oh, that's up there with like one of my top ones, just because the dancing, like, I don't know if you should say this, but the dancers in America are just like another level,
right?
Like the way they move, yeah, they're just incredible. And it's a lot of dancing in that one, which was the thing that got me into musicals in the first place. And then I went and saw it last year with my mum at the Troubadour. Have you seen that one in Wembley, the big Troubadour theatre? It's like, it's quite a big new venue that they've sort of built. But again, it was that immersive thing.
Yeah.
So they all come out into the audience and they're all dancing around you.
Wonderful. Ace. Wonderful. And so do you, when you see the, because obviously you were drawn into it by dancing, does that make you pull back in, or do you think, oh, I could have done that? I could get stuck. Is it only boys dancing the in the Newsies one?
You're like, yeah, no, I could never have done that. But I still go to dance. I'm 37, right? In my head, I'm not nearly 40, but so I still go to dance classes every week. So part of me is still like, even with the comedy, you're like, if that eventually goes really, really well, maybe I'll cross over and be in Strictly Come Dancing. And like, I think I'm always trying to see how that route could eventually get me there. So the dancing, that would be the sort of thing. I remember last time I saw it, Newsies, and I saw them all dancing, because they were really good in that production. Apparently, they actually delayed it for so long, bringing Newsies to the UK, because they couldn't find that caliber of dancer. They couldn't find enough of them.
Wow, really?
So it's meant to be all men, but they had to put some women in the cast because they just couldn't find enough blokes. And they were getting injured because a lot of them do like tumbles. A lot of them are dancer/gymnastics. Mm-hmm. So they just didn't have the cast for it. And I think one performance they actually had to cancel because so many of them got injured. They didn't have enough to complete the cast.
Wow.
I didn't know it was so dangerous. And we were just sat right here, mate, and they could have given us a call.
Can you flip?
Oh, I can flip with the best of them. Not really can. Shoot, you?
No.
No. I've seen you roll.
Yeah. That's not really that exciting to watch, though. So how did the transition go from aspiring career in musical theatre to becoming a stand-up comedian?
Well, so I guess what it was is, like, with the musicals and the acting and all that, you have to audition, and you have to get an agent, and then the agent has to get your auditions, and then they have to let you in the room, and then you have to do well in that audition, and that's it. And it was all these doors to sort of like break down that you had to do to actually just even sort of be seen by a casting director. Or the alternative of that is you sit outside Pineapple Dance Studios for 4 hours in the cold from 5 a.m. waiting to do an open audition where there's like thousands of you. And then my friend who's already a comedian, Jeremy Page, we went to school together. And he was always sending me things like, come watch me. Because I think at that point it was just like, you didn't have social media, so people would literally email out and be like, come see my show at Top Secret or wherever it was. And I went and saw him, and I chatted to him afterwards, and he said, oh, you should just give it a go. And I said, hey, you can just give that a go. You can just get up and perform, but and no one can stop you. And he was like, yeah. And I was like, okay.
Amazing.
And then I just did it. And then I don't think I thought it would be something I would carry on doing or want to do. And I'd never really, the opposite to musicals, I'd never really watched any stand-up. Before I got into stand-up, I don't think I'd ever seen a live stand-up apart from going to see Joey. But yeah, then I just never stopped. So here
that's
I
amazing.
Am.
It's incredible. The other thing there is you haven't built an expectation. Like, if you really, really, really love something, sometimes it's hard to start that because you're so close to it. It's so personal to you. Whereas, like, maybe the stand-up was more available to you because you didn't care as much. And, like, you sort of, like, did it, thought, fuck it. And did it, and then was like, oh, actually, this is quite fun.
Yeah, I think you're right, actually. I think with the musical thing, because I loved it so much, there was so much pressure. It's like, I have to do this. Yeah. Like, this is the only thing I want to do. I have to do it. Whereas with that, it was like, oh, I'm just doing it. And then it just sort of, like, snowballed.
Yeah.
And now, yeah, that's the thing I do. But I guess I do really love that because it is performing. But yeah, there is just always that little bit that's like, oh, maybe that thing will come back around.
We could see you. I would look forward to seeing you on Strictly. So do you do, alongside the comedy, have you got a podcast?
Oh, yeah, I've got a podcast,
Be Fairy Afraid?
Be Fairy Afraid,
sounds great.
I started that with, what's that?
It sounds great. It sounds really cool.
So I started it with another comedian, actually. I think that's the good thing about comedy is everyone's it is that thing of no one's going to open the doors for you. You've just got to keep creating stuff. And so me and another comedian, Louise Atkinson, we got quite close at the Edinburgh Fringe. And because I'm quite sort of light and bubbly and everything's amazing and everything's in fairy tale land, and she's quite like down to earth and gritty, and we've sort of combined my naivety, and then she's very intelligent, but also like all the sort of Brothers Grimm and all that, you know, like the dark side of fairy tales. So she brings a dark fairy tale every week and just basically reads it to me, and I just react.
You go act
which
scared.
I made it sound not that interesting, but sounds great. I think because it's just sort of two worlds colliding.
Yeah,
it does work. And then also we just talk about how our week's going or our day or that sort of stuff.
What's been some of your favorite grim fairy tales? What ones have like stuck out to you?
What ones? The Tin Soldier. Again, I liked that one because there was he fell in love with a dancer.
You can live vicariously through your story.
She had her leg up by her ear and he fell in love with her. Oh, shock. She read me her Japanese because she's trying to do like Nordic ones, and she read me a Celtic one. I didn't love that one, which I thought I would because I'm half Scottish, but The Tale of Cuchulainn. But I think it was like a three-parter, so I think when you only do one part, it for me, it never got going.
Yeah.
Whereas this Japanese one, oh my God, it was really dark. He went into this house and there was parts of bodies everywhere. But you know, when they proper specifically name them, it's like, oh, there was a pile of femurs. And you're like, I don't need to know.
Yeah, it's unnecessarily descriptive.
Yeah, and it's like, and then you hear a crunch and it's where he's been whacked over the head with a femur. And you're just like, oh, it's too much for me. I've come here all light and bubbly. I don't need this story.
Most fairy tales are pretty horrific, though, aren't they?
Yeah, the underlying senses, watch out.
Yeah.
I guess that's why a lot of the Disney ones, people always go, like, there was a time in comedy where everyone's going, but if you actually think about Beauty and the Beast, it's just Stockholm Syndrome. Yeah. Or like, and they put all those dark...
Yeah.
Yeah, Snow White, she's out cold, the guy's coming up kissing a girl who's clearly unconscious.
Yeah. Is that Sleeping Beauty?
Yeah. Oh, is it? So would I say Snow White? Fucking hell. Yeah. yeah. I wish I knew that was wrong. I wish someone had told me that was wrong
I
sooner.
Think Snow White, he kisses her.
He
as
does,
well,
yeah.
Oh, does he do that as well?
Fucking hell. Yeah.
She's proper out cold.
So it's even worse. So Sleeping Beauty, she's constantly out. Snow White, does she, is that, I'm mixing.
She eats the apple,
Snow
doesn't
White,
she?
Snow White, she has a poison apple.
Yeah.
Okay. She's in the glass
so she's
coffin
poisoned.
Thing,
Yeah. They're all quite dark, actually.
Yeah.
The last time we had someone on here talking Disney, we had Helen Bauer on.
I know.
And you tried to question her on Disney.
And
you got shut down
spectacularly. I'm just not a big fan of Disney. And obviously
okay.
Helen was really sensitive about it. It was great. It was a great podcast. And she was
that
very...
That was another thing I auditioned for. You just keep... I think I've got PTSD. I auditioned to be... Disneyland Paris.
Yeah.
Audition to be a princess.
Mm-hmm.
And again, really long audition day. And then at the end, they offered me a reserve Pluto. Do you know how insulting that is? When you've got full makeup on, you've got all your hair done, you've danced like a princess, and they go, right, we've kept you here 9 hours. We've got you to fill in all these forms. But actually, would you mind sort of putting a collar and a lead on and for an ensemble?
Not right now, again. Though. Only when the other guy can't.
Yeah, exactly. There's one guy who's better, but if he can't do it, and you will need
when
to go...
When he gets worms, you can jump in. Absolutely livid.
Well, I can tell you a fantastic experience I had in Euro Disney with the children. I took them there, and the whole thing's about the parade, right?
Yeah.
And I was like, right, here we go, kids, let's get ready. And we got right to the front where the gates open, where they first come out. So I was like, right, this is going to be magic, kids. French people, quite rightly, like to strike. the gates opened and the full cast just walked out in their jeans and t-shirts and just fucking strolled through the fucking Disneyland. Literally, everyone's kids were just like,
"Oh,
Daddy, what's going on?" And like, and there was also, it was essentially the English parents there were just like wankers. Like, it was just it was a really frosty old situation. But
see, whereas for me, that would have been a heyday for me because I wouldn't have had to have the Pluto.
They would have seen you.
Actually, would have been seen. Yeah, she would have been in some photographs.
Oh, fantastic!
I can't believe that.
Yeah.
I didn't know that. That happens often, does it?
I don't know. Like, it
was just really unlucky. Like,
but I hope it doesn't happen.
Well, yeah, the second time you went, they striked as well. Can you imagine the luck of that?
Absolutely. Okay, so. We're at the top spot.
Yeah,
right?
We're at the top spot.
Top spot.
Let's do it.
Yep. Avenue Q.
Do you know what? It's amazing. And that was the one I was going to say, Fiona, at the start, said, I don't want to ruin your top five. But
oh, really?
Yes. It's one of the few I've been to, and I fucking loved it. It was great.
Yeah, I think I saw that about five times. Wow. It was, I kept going back. I think at the time, one of my drama teachers was in it. So I went to see it because of that, and that was actually my audition songs. So Fine Fine Line from Avenue Q and Special, you know, the one that Lucy the Slut sings. Yeah. That was the one that I shouted in the Mamma Mia panel space. So I was like, I can make you feel special. but yeah, I loved that one because it was funny, it was silly, but also I think there were bits in it, like, where you get like a bit, some of the songs are quite like Fine Fine Line, you get a bit teary with that one. And yeah, I didn't think it would be one that I'd like because it doesn't really have any dancing in it.
Yeah.
But
is that the one with puppets?
Yeah, the puppet.
Have you not seen it?
I haven't, no. I remember literally going up the escalators and seeing it advertised on the tube and thinking, that looks so cool.
Mm. Yeah, it was really good. Although, I mean, I don't know how it would sit today.
Yeah, because it's not on now. And yeah, I remember the reason why I went as well was because my mates where I was working were like, we won't get into a musical. And they were like, Avenue Q, it's got swearing in it. It's a bit... Because it's also quite like... it's quite racy subjects, isn't it? So, yeah.
Yeah, there's a song called Everyone's a Little Bit Racist.
Oh, yeah.
But I just don't know. Yeah, I don't know if that would sit today. Yeah. I don't know if people would go and see it or because it's all tongue in cheek.
Yeah, of course. Yeah,
like it's not.
Everyone's a bit racist. Hate. Yeah, no, it's not like that.
Yeah,
it's not like
hate
way.
Crimes are taking place on stage with puppets. Yeah. But I don't. What do you think? Do you think people would watch it? Because
I've got such a vague memory of the numbers. It's like you're saying that, and I'm now going, oh yeah, that was really good.
I'm trying to think what other ones there were, but. You know, like silly ones where like the puppets have sex and stuff, which I think people would be fine with. But the ones like everyone's a little bit racist and stuff. I don't know if people be all right with that now. It feels like it's been quite a shift in such a small amount of time, in a good way, but for Avenue Q maybe in a bad way.
So are there any others that didn't make the cut? Because I've got a few that I'll throw in the mix as well that I didn't think I was going to like that I ended up enjoying. Like.
Oh, God, I've seen too many. What was I?
While you're thinking of that, Fiona, let me read you out some of the songs from Avenue Q.
Okay, yeah. From
Avenue Q. So this is why you might be like, the internet is for porn. Everyone's a little bit racist. There's one called If You Were Gay. So that immediately, I mean, I can't remember the content of that, but like you're saying, like, I'm not sure how that lands now. But yeah, I literally can't remember.
Like, if you were a gay, well, I'm not gay. Okay.
Fantastic.
But again, I guess as well because it's puppets doing it. That takes it
absolutely
a level away from the person. Mm. So maybe you'd get away with it. Name some musicals, and I'll tell you if they're
one I've meant to go twice, and it's kind of like in the same sort of sense of Avenue Q that it's probably quite offensive, but I haven't watched it. I've had tickets to go for it twice, and both times it's fallen apart. Like one time, split up it was a Christmas present for my partner. We split up shortly after, and they took the tickets, and then spitefully didn't sell them on, didn't go, just let them go to waste. But I hear it's quite good, Book of Mormon. And
Yeah, that is really good.
Yeah, I'd love to see Book of Mormon.
Actually, that clears up the point about Avenue Q as well. Because that's quite... Have you seen that one?
That's what I want to see, yeah. I've heard it's a bit, like, edgy.
Did you see it, Cribs?
I haven't seen it, no.
Oh, that one is very, like, edgy. But it's still on. So I guess, yeah, Avenue Q could easily come back. But Book of Mormon's probably up there. I went and saw that, I think, twice. It's really funny. And the songs are really good.
Yeah.
I think what other ones... Because I don't know if they've done it in the West End. Because if I think of films... Like, I just don't think anything's better than Bugsy Malone. It's one of my favourite films anyway, ever. And
what one?
Bugsy Malone. Like,
oh, God. Yeah, see, Bugsy Malone, again, I used to watch that on repeat, yeah. But I've never seen it live.
Yeah.
But, yeah, that's up there because, again, the song.
The best.
There's so many memorable songs in it, like Tallulah's song, So You Want to Be a Boxer. Yeah, that would be up there. I don't know what it'd be like, because they do it with old kids, don't they?
Yeah.
Because I think they did it recently in the Lyric Theatre, they did it, and it was all kids, because my friends, that's the thing as well, my friend, she's actually an agent for like musical theatre people. So if I got my shit together, I could just get...
Is that why she's your friend as well, Fiona? You actually don't like them until you found out what she did, and you're like, do you want to go out for lunch?
they had a few kids who were in it, and it was like an all kid cast. So
I mean, for somebody that grew up loving musical theatre, and you said you watched Bugsy Malone on repeat, and it's full of kids, surely like Annie, right?
Oh yeah, Annie. Yeah, but again, I've never seen these ones live, and
I saw that.
I'm a little bit scared to actually, because I saw Oliver live at Drury Lane, and I did not like it.
Oh.
It was really slow and really dull, whereas that's got great songs in it, great premise, like, but at the theatre, I didn't like it.
I took the kids to Annie when it was Miranda Hart, I think, was Miss Hannigan, I think.
See, she's done it. Yeah. Can she sing?
No. but it was really good. It was a really good show. that was wonderful. Just trying to think what happened.
Did they like it, the kids?
Yeah, loved it. But they watched the film on repeat constantly. The original, not the remake.
Yeah, yeah. Like, oh, yeah, I tried to watch the new one and I turned it off.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
But, the one with Bernadette Peters in it was really good. Yeah,
amazing.
Yeah, that's the thing. Those ones I haven't really seen live. And again, the ones that I have, like Grease and stuff. Shrek the Musical was quite... Oh, Ghost. Ghost was good.
I've not seen that.
That'd probably be up there. Dirty Dancing, again, disappointed.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because, again, it's what you said, it's so ingrained.
Yeah.
And the singers, the dancers don't sing. Like, there's two singers at the side singing the songs, and they're sort of dancing around, and then the dancers sing a little bit, but it's not the same as the film, because obviously in the film, they're not singing, are they? They're just dancing. No. Background music. It shouldn't really be a musical, I don't think.
I think I had sort of aspirations to be on the stage when I was a little kid. Like, I'd done them sort of performances, but you just mentioned Oliver's just really made me remember something. I think I was probably about 9 or 10. And my mum and dad had had a go at me for something. So I was like, I'm running away. Like, because you didn't leave home when you was a kid. You run away in the 80s, didn't you?
Yeah.
And I remember I'm running away. And I remember I took like one of me toys and me pencil case, I think. And I remember like walking to the end of the street, and then it was like a bus lane through to like where my mates lived. And I thought, well, I'm going to go over to my mate's house because I've run away. And as I walked through that bus lane, I remember going, where is love?
So dramatic.
It was so pathetic.
Born for the stage.
I was just thinking, yeah, we all ran away. We all ran away, but we didn't all do it with musical instruments, actually.
Yeah, on the way.
Oh, fantastic. There is apparently, I've not seen it, but someone was telling me Friday that I think it's on either the Disney Channel. They've made a story of what's his name, Oliver's mate,
Artful Dodger.
Yeah, they've made a show about the Artful Dodger, and apparently it's got Fagin and all of that on. It's made by Disney.
I'll have to watch that. Yeah,
I've not seen it, but it's apparently pretty dark as well. Shocker. Disney.
Yeah, well, again, that was quite dark. A lot of them have got that undertone, haven't they?
Yeah.
It's all like music and light, but actually it's some quite gritty subject.
Yeah.
I think that basically sums me up in a nutshell. That's how I can digest gritty things, if they're sort of tied up in a bow with music and
a dance number.
Dancing.
Yeah.
Whilst they're doing this really awful sort of murdering, as long as there's the occasional jazz hand kind of like in it, we're all right. We can get through
Sweeney
it.
Sweeney
Todd. Oh, there's some good in the world. Thank God.
Right. So that was a fantastic top five.
Yeah, it was great.
And so, away from musical theatre and onto the comedy stage, what's happening?
What's happening? Well, I think I'm going back to Edinburgh Fringe.
Amazing.
It would seem so. So I'll be there in August, definitely from like the 3rd of August, possibly just doing 2 weeks, and maybe just till the 17th, but that would be at the Banshee Labyrinth. So between now and then, I'll be writing that show.
Fantastic.
Because last year I debuted, which is where you sort of show the comedy world, this is who I am.
Yeah.
But you've got like a wealth of material, whereas then that sort of goes in the bin and you start again.
You've got like a whole new thing. And have you got your premise and ideas for what's going to come out in August?
Well, I've got a work in progress at Leicester, which is where we say in the biz, I'm going to throw shit at the wall. See what sticks. So possibly after that, I'll have a premise. What else? Oh, and now I'm just, as well as doing like gigs up and down the country, I'll put them all on Instagram. Just putting out clips on Instagram as well now, because that's the way forward, isn't it? Putting out comedy clips and the podcast.
Yeah, wonderful. And so if people want to keep up the speed, you mentioned Instagram. Is that the best place to...
Yeah, that's the best place for me. Fiona_Ridgewell.
Wow. Well, we'll link you into everything.
Oh, lovely.
When
Thank
the show
you.
Comes out. And Fiona, it's been a real good crack.
Oh, it's been lovely.
Thanks so much for having me. Thank you.
Really enjoyed it. Okay, we're going to press stop, but don't go anywhere.
Okay.
It's a drunken soiree in the within.
Chris and Stu present Our Core Listing, the podcast.